the incredible power of your mindset and words. Welcome to the second segment of Pathway to Purposeful Living. Briefly, I'll be talking about the incredible power of your thoughts and the word you speak. Why did I choose to talk about this? I haven't given you the practical steps to follow in discovering your purpose in life and living a fulfilled life. Your life manifests whatever you profess out of the abundance of your heart. That is why the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is said that your worth is determined by the words, while your life is an expression of your thoughts. Words are creative. You create your life with your words. Actually, you prophesy your own future with your word. Signs come before sight. The law of attraction states that to whom or what you give your attention, energy, and words is what creates in your life. I know personally in my own life, when I felt broken and fractured, I gave detailed description of my pain and how difficult it was to get myself braced up and back on the line. One day, I was sitting down in the living room and remembered a great verse in the Bible that states, "You shall declare a thing and it shall be established unto you." At that moment, I changed what I was saying and I began to speak positively to myself with the power of right thinking. It is therefore paramount that you have the right mental attitude. Scientists have discovered that they can measure the vibrational level of words through a study where people would talk to their plants. They had two control groups. One group was told to speak positively to their plants, such as, "You are such a beautiful plant." The second group was instructed to speak negative words to their plants. The results were astounding. Both sets of plants continued to receive the same level of light and water. The plants whose owners spoke positive words to began to flourish, bloom, and grow. The plants whose owner were told to speak negative words began to notice that their plant became stagnant, withered, and some died. The power of words. Of course, you might not know about the remarkable scientific discovery of Dr. Masaru Emoto, a creative and visionary Japanese researcher. Dr. Emoto conducted a study on human consciousness and words on water. A photograph was taken of two glasses of water. Dr. Emoto had participants to speak negative words to one glass of water and positive words to other glass before and after the picture was taken. Amazing discovery was revealed. The molecular structure of water was affected by human vibrational energy, thought, and words. The glass of water that had positive words spoken to was very more beautiful, glowing, and clean. Your words are so powerful that they can change things. The Bible states that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So, what have you been saying about your life? Have you been trying to use the law of attraction but are seemingly stuck? It could be the word you've been speaking, or maybe you are a client who has received a series of coaching and said, "This law of attraction stuff works for everyone else but you." My word to you is, you have created your world with your words, and you are getting exactly what you have been saying. Your words determine your worth. As soon as you change your words for better, your world will be changed as well. Why not hit the delete button? The thoughts and beliefs that you repeat in your mind when you are experiencing a negative situation becomes your reality. Your subconscious will make sure these limiting thoughts and beliefs are manifested. Our minds work a lot like a computer. The way we program our thinking will determine how our lives are going to function. You can have the most expensive, powerful computer you can find, but if you load the wrong software, it is not going to perform at its best. In the same way, many people are not living a victorious life, and it is not because there is something wrong with them, but because of what has been programmed in their thinking. They start believing the lies. "I am not talented. I don't have a good personality. I have made too many mistakes. I have reached my limit. Just like a virus can slow down a perfectly good computer does, our wrong thinking can keep us from our destiny. If you're going to live in victory, you've got to know how to hit the delete button. When negative and unproductive thoughts come to your mind and says, you're just an average, that you are just an ordinary, hit delete and say, I am a masterpiece. I am one of a kind. When you hear, you say your best day, it is all downhill from here. Hit delete and say, my future will be brighter and my past. And if you will start hitting the delete button on those negative thoughts, your life will go to a new level and you will experience the blessings and increase God has in store for you. Remember, your confession precedes your possession. You possess what you confess. Realization follows confession. Why don't you declare this affirmation to yourself right now about your life? My financial breakthrough comes to me easily and effortlessly under the grace in perfect ways. I have the mind of Christ and always know what to do in every situation. I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. I am worthy of love. I am a lovely expression of God in this earth realm. In conclusion, know that your life follows your word. Change what you say and you will change what you see. It is a law and it works every time. Now, permit me to go quickly to perceptual orientation and response readiness. I want to talk about reconditioning your mind and confessing positive things about your life. You need to take a step further and look at your perceptual orientation and response readiness about yourself, people, circumstances, and environment. What do I mean? I am talking about your attitude. The greatest American basketball champion Michael Jordan once said, choosing to be positive and having a grateful attitude is going to determine how you're going to live your life. My attitude is, if you push me towards something that you think is a weakness, I will then turn that perceived weakness into strength. An attitude is normally defined as a perceptual orientation and response readiness in relation to a particular object or class of objects. Attitudes are most commonly measured through analysis of pattern of response to questionnaires and other self-report techniques. Brian Tracy once said, your attitude determines your altitude. This is so true, and if you are willing to take this saying seriously, it will help you a whole lot to move further in your life and achieve greater things than one has ever achieved before. Sometimes ago in 2006, during the FIFA World Cup final between Italy and France, we saw a perfect example of attitude being displayed. One Italian seemingly insulted one of the French, so the Frenchman retaliated by headbutting the Italian, causing him to be sent off the game and possibly costing his side the World Cup. What makes it bad is that this Frenchman was a legend in the game of football, and this was his last game, and this is how he will be remembered. I am sure that you have witnessed many times in your life how attitude determines altitude. Someone once said that it is not what happens to us that are important, but what we do or how we respond to what happens to us that makes all the difference. One man says, I am not giving any money to that beggar, because by now he is probably rich from the money he has accumulated through daily begging. Why another man freely gives the beggar money, knowing that the man has done a good turn for the day. To be successful, you need to have a success attitude. One person goes to a job and says, I hate the boss, I hate the people, I hate the work, and it all stinks. Why another person says that even though they may not like the way the boss operates, they have money coming in each month. They live close to their workplace, they get a pension plan and other fringe benefits. Closely observed, it is the same situation but a different attitude being exhibited. Your attitude determines your attitude. I want to encourage you to work on your attitude. The greatest part of our happiness depends not on our positions, but our disposition. To build a positive attitude, the following steps must be taken into consideration. I hereby recommend the following strategies to building positive perceptual orientation and response readiness about you, people, circumstances, and environment. Number one, never ever compromise yourself with people. It highlights or emphasizes the good part in the person and paints a negative picture of which you can eventually lead to poor self-esteem or negative self-worth. Just think of all the good qualities you have too. If you feel you don't have any good qualities, join a few clubs or sports team, or even start one. This can give you a talent to be proud that you took a boost of yourself. Number two, remind yourself most things are possible. If you try hard enough, set your goal and work to reach it. Number three, set a goal to make a like-minded friend. If you feel you don't have enough friend and companion in your life, then make a goal to get more of it by embracing a friend or friends to meet the deficit. Number four, give everything a chance before you neglect or reject it. It might add meaning, purpose, and fulfillment to your life. Number five, groom and dress well to project your personality, because people see you before they hear you. Appearance can affect you too. If you feel ugly, you probably will dress to reflect this negative self-image. You should change your hairstyle, clothing, and if you wear makeup, don't overdo nor underdo. You could appear to be either too conspicuous or sophisticated. Gain the right balance. This can help you feel great about yourself. Number six, there is need to communicate needs. If someone makes you feel negative, even a friend, tell the person, then express in a nice way how you feel. That will saturate you with confidence. No one can bring out the worst in you if you don't allow it. Remember, what you say is what will be said about you. Stay unbent. Don't let anyone or other people drag you down. What they say is always their opinion and not necessarily the truth as it concerns you. That is why Les Brown said, someone's opinion about you does not have to become your reality. Number seven, do what makes you happy and isn't harmful. Your passion is your profession. And number eight, smile, smile, and smile always. Always remember to keep that beautiful smile on your face. Smiling is actually proven to keep you happier when you're down and gloomy on a dreadful day. If you are sad, smile. If you are happy, smile. It makes you a happier person and gives other people a better impression about you. As I always say, it is more a must to put on a smile than your purse or wallet. Remember, your excellence is not determined by your location, rather, it is by your disposition. It is not by where you are, but by who you are. And what is excellent, and how do we attain excellence? Remember, there are said that excellence is not by location, but by your disposition to life, challenges, and colleagues at work, paying attention to little details and commitment to doing your best irrespective of or regardless of what others do. Everyone wants to be great in their field of endeavor or another, such as in business, entrepreneurship, ministry, or whatever career path they have chosen, but only few hardly find their way there. I have seen geniuses today who are still struggling hard to get to their desired destinations in life. In view of what I have observed and concluded, it was laid in my heart to speak about attaining excellence. I recognize this to be one of the vehicles to fulfilling purpose, which guarantees success. Consider this for a moment. Your mind is a thought factory. It produces thousands of thoughts each day. The factory is controlled by one of two foremen, Mr. Triumph and Mr. Defeat. Mr. Triumph specializes in producing reasons why you can handle whatever comes your way, why you are more than able to conquer, to break barriers, and become a trailblazer. However, Mr. Defeat highlights and constantly emphasizes why you should give up at doing anything.
Both are instantly obedient, for at your signal, they immediately snap to attention. Give a positive signal and Mr. Tryon will show the switches and see to it that one encouraging, uplifting thoughts after another floods your mind. But turn Mr. Defeat loose, and in the name of reality or common sense, it will convince you that you can't or won't or shouldn't attempt or continue to pursue any given project. It will drain all your energy, squelch all your confidence, and turn you into a frowny, tight-lipped, fatalistic victim. You must fight failure and mediocrity in your mind before you can fight them in reality. According to Vincent Lombardi, your success in life will be determined more by the depth of commitment to excellence than by any other factor, no matter your chosen field. Therefore, aspire as much as you can to be the best in your career or chosen field you are involved. I re-emphasize that excellence is not determined by your location, but by your disposition. Everything in the reality has its thought antecedents. Every action is a product of thoughts. The chair you are sitting on, the book you're holding in your hand right now, or your mobile phone on the table right in front of you, even the table itself, were things that first existed in someone's mind. This message was first incubated in my mind before I birthed it into audio CD for your personal consumption. Develop the mindset of excellence and think excellence. Excellent minds are fashioned, created, and sharpened for people to acknowledge the work of other brilliant minds. When you read books written by people of excellence, you will begin to rub mind with them. Moreover, and more importantly, the positive part of excellent mind rubs off on you. You find their lives to be meaningful and impactful. Thus, this gives rise to the positivity and possibility within you. Many of them would have died, but what they left behind as their intellectual works still affect lives tremendously to you today. The likes of Napoleon Hill, Kenneth Hagin, Norman Vincent Peale, Apostle Ayodele Babalola, Pastor Paul Adefarasin of House on the Rock, Fela Drotoy, Plato, Aristotle, Pastor E.A. Adeboye, Bishop David Oyedepo, Anthony Robbins, and many others. Identify your key area of optimum performance will enable you to recognize and create a platform for which you can perform to your highest ability in areas such as singing, writing, acting, several other things according to the gifted ability. You have to desire it intensely. This is the core aspect of excellence. What you don't desire, you don't get. And when you get by serendipity, you don't value or respect it. If you desire it intensely, that is when it will be accepted by your subconscious mind. Then your subconscious mind, through reception, can now direct its thoughts towards your conscious mind and bring it into physical manifestation. There is no doubt about you too can attain position of excellence in your field of endeavor. If you think excellence, read excellent books by excellent mind, identify an area in which you can perform at optimum level and desire it intensely. Nothing, I say, absolutely nothing can stop you. What has been your excuses lately for not being excellent? Failure as an explanation, success also as an explanation. The explanation of failure is called excuses, while the explanation of success is called keys, principles, and tips. My mentor, Fela Drotoy, once said, an excuse is the reason that explains failure, that even if that explanation was not there, if the reason did not exist, the failure, the result of the failure will still be the same. The butterfly is in your hand. If you like, I want you to spear it or excuse it. And this reminds me of one man who attributes his success to poverty. It is no news when dog bites a man, but when the latter bites the former, the story gets viral and everybody begins to wonder and curious to knowing the reason behind such an action. I have heard over time many successful people attributed their success to hard work, determination, and their uncle giving them certain amounts of money, a capital to start their business and all that. But I was overwhelmingly astonished to listen to someone who attributed his success to poverty. This is another fantastic and mind-redefining story I want you to pay a close attention to. Yinka Obalade, the MD of Global Bank, was a 1980 first-class honors graduate of mathematics of Obafemi Awolowo University in Ile-Ife. Mr. Obalade also holds a Master's in Business Administration MBA degree and is equally a fellow in the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Nigeria, ICAN, for over decades. When he was asked the story behind his success on a popular TV show, he attributed it to poverty. How? He came from a very poor family. Even in his hometown, if anybody wanted to curse another, they said, "May you be as poor as Obalade's family." There was no way he would have even been able to go to school other than getting a scholarship. But there was something his mother used to tell him. "Though we may not have money, but I want you to know that nobody has the right to be better than you unless you give them that right." When it was time to do the common entrance, Yinka Obalade led in his state and he got on the government scholarship. That was the only way he was able to go through secondary school. When he entered into university in the first year, he led as well. But there in the university was different kind of scholarship. It was a yearly scholarship. So he emerged in the faculty. Since he wasn't sure how good other students were in the other department, not only did he ask to be the best student in this department, but also in the whole faculty if he was going to get money to pay for next session. It is either he was the best student and gets a scholarship, or he could not get money to come to school at all. So he either has to be the best student or not being best student at all. There was no middle ground. He said poverty condemned him to success. He said, and then it was a total condemnation. You either succeed or you're finished. Naturally, he felt the need to improve his lot because he was poor. Poverty was the catalyst for change in his life. It forced him to discover self and purpose and then use these tools as stepping stones to do a better life. Yinka Obalade attributed poverty to his success and that same poverty to which others ascribe their failures. For instance, giving excuses such as, "I came from a poor background. My parents could not afford money to send me to school." Listen up. Nobody wants to learn from your excuses. Your children do not want to know why you did not earn enough money to send them to school. Your children won't have any respect or regard for your explanation on what happened to the economy in your own time. Your children will not give you the airtime to explain why your boss did not promote you. There are people who have had it easier than you and done worse. There are also people who have had it harder than you and have done their best. The circumstances have very little to do with getting over past failure. You either create your future deliberately or it comes to you as a surprise. As long as you are still breathing, your future has to come. So choose this day which future you want. Do you want the one that will come to you by surprise or the one you will create? Joshua Anson said, "The best way to predict your future is to create it." We are living in a world that operates upon certain universal laws of God called principle. For a thing to be called principle, it means that to a large extent, it will deliver similar or same results regardless of who put the principle to work. For instance, a Nigerian farmer is likely to get pepper seed from a pepper, be it from Nigeria, Ghana, or the United States of America, or anywhere in the world. The premise is that we get pepper seeds from pepper as long as it's pepper seed that is planted. We should expect to reap pepper, not potato, regardless of the farmer. Recently, a friend of mine was asked in a seminar if we would like to become a millionaire before the age of 40. Sadly, he replied, "I don't mind. This is one of the greatest problems we have in this part of the globe. Success doesn't come to people who don't mind." Simply expressing that one doesn't mind how success comes conveys or suggests that suddenly, one day, one is somehow waiting and expecting success to drop into one's lap. as opposed to one going out there and proactively making it happen. Ultimately, having this mentality hinders us from grabbing hold of and seizing opportunities for success. You've got to be desperate for success. There are 13 principles in life that guarantees the result and make your desire literally come to pass. Determine what you want. Know it. Be clear with it and run with it. The end result is always gratifying.